Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 13 and 18 through 26. It begins, "As Jesus continued on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. He said to him, 'Follow me.' And he got up and followed him. As Jesus sat down to eat in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard it, he said, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners.' While Jesus was speaking to them, a ruler came and knelt in front of him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and place your hand on her and she'll live.' So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Then a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his clothes. She thought, 'If I only touch his robe, I'll be healed.' When Jesus turned and saw her, he said, 'Be encouraged, daughter, your faith has healed you.' And the woman was healed from that time on. When Jesus went into the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the distressed crowd. He said, 'Go away, because the little girl isn't dead, but is asleep.' But they laughed at him. After he had sent the crowd away, Jesus went in and touched her hand, and the little girl rose up. News about this spread throughout that whole region." Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, may you touch us today. May you touch our lives, and as we listen to the words ahead, may they be a guiding path in how we reflect ourselves as Christians in this eternal world and your gracious kingdom. So guide us, allow us to listen with a deep full heart, and allow us to bring it forward as your disciples. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I need a drink. Not that type of drink. Sometimes I wonder in my heart the right thing. I wonder if I'm in the right place, because I always live with this level of anxiety. When I hear things said about me, it drives me crazy. I want it resolved instantly, but this is the way I'm built. But I've never understood why people think they are always better. I'm better because I've had a successful life. I'm better because of my name. I'm better because, well, the list can go on. And that right there is one of the problems with the world: entitlement. And because someone isn't worshiping the ground you walk on or respecting who you are, I'm going to blame them. I'm going to try my hardest to put them down because it isn't what I want. Have any of you ever seen this happen? Because I have. The last time I checked, I worked for a church that is open to all people, no matter who they are, no matter where they are from, no matter what, Jesus welcomes them. The Holy Spirit helps them, and God accepts them for who they are. That is the church. That is Christ's church, and that is what is happening in our gospel lesson from Matthew today. Well, so to speak. Today we have Jesus who is interacting, who is healing people around him, and many of them feel as though they don't have the right to be there. And the same goes for today. The people who live on the margins, those who feel like they don't matter much to society, those who feel like they just aren't good enough. I often wonder how many of us here have ever felt that way. I often wonder how many of us here should probably humble themselves to understand why people feel this way. Then I also wonder this. I wonder how many of you think if you matter. or even if you deserve to be here. Because I feel like that many times. Just think about how large the world is in the scheme of things. We are just minute in the whole universe. It is complex, so large that many of us probably struggle for meaning. Instead of living for the future, we just live to exist, trying to survive each day, even wondering if any person out there might actually think that we are important or even meaningful. And by that, I mean anyone who lives outside of our families. And if we go back to Jesus' time when he walked the earth, it hasn't really changed. Because he also met many people who felt the same way, as if they didn't matter, all because the world, the religious establishments, put a label on them, calling them unimportant. In our gospel lesson for this morning, we meet a guy named Matthew. And it just so happens to be the first person Jesus runs into today. Now, we have all heard before how important Matthew was. We know he was a tax collector. He usually had a couple of Roman soldiers around him, and his job was enforcing taxes. And he even got to skim a few dollars off the top every once in a while just for himself. But to the people around him, he was a traitor. He was a disgrace to his family. So much so that they were forced to disown him. And he certainly wouldn't have been welcomed in the synagogue, nor any other place where the people he grew up with congregated. And there were rules just for people like Matthew, also known as those who did bidding for the Roman occupation by collecting taxes from his own people. To those around him, people like Matthew, they were considered dead. Just think of that, being considered dead by your own people. And this still happens today. People who leave religious cults, people who leave fundamentalist churches, hop on Netflix. There are a couple of documentaries that speak about this. Yes, there are still people treated like this when they leave. But because of what Matthew did, it rendered him a non-person. Have you ever felt like a non-person? Wednesday morning, I was sitting at my kitchen table drinking a cup of coffee and reading a post on Facebook. Yes, I know. I probably shouldn't do that. And this post was a response to a previous post. And here's what it was about. A guy posted that he and his two sons were looking for lawns to mow, specifically for those who were elderly, those who were disabled, and veterans. But he never clarified this, how much, meaning how much he was going to charge them. And boy, did the people go after him. You're just trying to take money away from the less fortunate. You're just trying to steal from the elderly, and so on. So he responded with the second post saying this, "We never intended to charge anything. We just wanted to do something good. I work full time. Me and my two sons just wanted to help out. I'm not trying to rip anyone off. But this is the world we live in. We have people on the margins. We have some who feel like they don't matter, or they don't feel like they matter as much as others who have the money to pay. Instead, we have people who want to help, who want to do good, and even yet society shuns them." The second group that Jesus engages with, with other than tax collectors or the religious elite, they call them sinners. And these are people Jesus had dinner with right after calling Matthew as a disciple. These so-called sinners. They were the ones rendered as unrighteous because of the Jewish law. What is that old phrase people use? Oh, yes. We know we are known by the company we keep. And for Jesus, he became known and even judged by the leaders as that guy who ate with the tax collectors and sinners just because he hung out with them. According to Jewish law, the righteous did not break bread with those who were outside the law, and that is exactly what Jesus was doing. And because of this, they judged Jesus in the same way, which makes me wonder, how many of you have ever felt you were judged as being outside the law of the church or of the religious people? Friends, let me say this, you are not alone. Jesus was judged in the same way. He can relate. Once I think about it, Jesus was considered so far outside the law that people deemed him not good enough to live on this earth. So what did we do? We put him to death. We nailed him to the cross. And there is nothing more ostracizing, nothing more isolating, nothing that is more self-demeaning than what Jesus experienced, because he suffered alone. He died alone, and yet here we are feeling terrible when we feel that family, friends, or the church does not accept us. I often wonder this, what it must be like to be so hated, so outcast, that you are killed just because you are not wanted in the world. Believe it or not, we have one more encounter today. This person is the leader of the synagogue, and his daughter has just died. And as any good father would be, he searches for someone who can help. But this is a first century story, and maybe some of you are asking why. Why a girl? Boys were the children that were sought after. Girls, they were bartered away as brides, and if you had wealth, it made a difference. If you were poor, the girls were an inconvenience or even a burden. So this girl, she is already dead. There's really no consequence. But her father and her mother, and especially Jesus, they care a great deal about her. So what does Jesus do? He touches her and brings her back to life. And what about the next woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years? This bleeding was painful, both mentally and physically. This kept her from getting married. It kept her from having children. It caused her to be ritually unclean. She was robbed of any kind of life. She sat outside and begged. And Jesus saw this. And all she had was this glimmer of hope in this crowd of people, just to touch his robe. So unimportant, but Jesus, he saw her. He let her know just how important she was. This is what he calls her, daughter. Friends, do you know what all these encounters have in common? Each one of these people, they were considered untouchable. They were people without a place. They were people without a future. They were people without dignity. They were people who were cut off from life. None of them mattered to the ruling class, and they got that message loud and clear. There were two cows out grazing in a pasture, and they saw the milk truck pass by. On the side of the milk truck were these words: pasteurized, homogenized, standardized, vitamin D added. One of the cows sighed, turned to the other, and said, "Makes you feel sort of inadequate, doesn't it?" In this world, there are too many people, too many structures, too many systems that are in place that give us the impression that we are inadequate, that we don't measure up, that we don't matter, that we are defective, too broken, too sinful. And no matter what anyone says, no matter who tries to put you down, no matter who thinks they are better than you, in God's eyes, every one of us matters. Nobody is trash. Nobody needs to be thrown away or swept aside. Not a one of us here, not a one of us out there are unimportant. But many of us feel as if we are. Friends, for 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he shows us just what it takes. He reached out to those who were on the margins. He eats and lives with the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the lepers, and so many others who were considered to be on the outside of this, of these so-called respectable folks. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples this: why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And the disciples stayed quiet. They still don't understand. But Jesus speaks up and says this: healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. What a shot at the egos of these Pharisees. Jesus was quoting what God said in Hosea 6:6 and Micah 6:6 through 8. These are the Pharisees' scriptures. They are supposed to be the experts, not some low-class preacher from Galilee. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners. When we love the outcasts, the marginalized, the so-called sinners, the ritually unclean, the poor, the disenfranchised, the forgotten, the hated, the you, the me, the Gentiles who have no place in God's kingdom, well, to those during Jesus' time, Jesus is interpreting the law of God by his very life. And what is that law? It is to love God and love your neighbor. And your neighbor is everyone. In this world where there are so many people who don't feel like they deserve help, where they don't feel like they deserve to be loved, or they don't deserve to exist, where they have been told in those words or shown by the way they have been treated, mistreated, ignored, talked about, referred to as whatever, you name it, I have been there. But I want you to know, none of it is true. Because of Jesus, who came to heal us all from the disease of feeling inadequate, who came as the perfect embodiment of God's love, who came to make us whole by showing us how much we are worth to him, Jesus wants to and can make us whole. By God's grace through faith, you will be made well, and it may not happen right away. But when we give it all over to the one who loves us, the one who created it all, you will be made whole. And you are loved. Amen.